We have a lot on our minds. Thinking about what's next, what's upcoming this week, what decisions we need to make. How is this problem going to get worked out? How is this going to get fixed? But just for the next few moments, God, help us clear the stage. Help us clear our minds, to clear our thoughts, and to really just be open to what you have for each one of us. As a broken, imperfect preacher, I'm always amazed at the way that you speak to so many needs at the same time, in the same place, in person and online. Only preachers can do that. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. And so my prayer is that you just clear the stage so that your word can go forth and so you can get the glory. In your name we pray, amen, amen, amen. So we've come to week two of our Parched Sermon Series, and I said this last week, and I think it's worth saying again, that I think this is an essential conversation for all of us, because too often we show up to the most important places of our lives depleted and parched. So our goal over the next few weeks is to simply give you some spiritual practices that will help each of us become people who have filled lives, to fill those empty spaces in our lives with things that are healthy and things that are fulfilling. So last week, just give you an overview, last week we looked at the spiritual discipline of paying attention. Yes, yes, I see three of you. Three of you were paying attention. I thought it was an easy concept, but maybe not. So this was simply an invitation to watch for the signs and signals of what fills us and what depletes us. It invited us to look beyond a limited frame of reference to see the totality of God's activity in our lives. Paying attention is not a spiritual discipline that we often talk about, but remember what we said last week, often the greatest threat to our mental, physical, and spiritual health, it is not the occasional crisis, but it is the small daily leaks that go unnoticed and unattended. So this week, we're looking at one of the oldest practices that is found in the Bible. It's something that some of us struggle with our entire lives because our society does not do a great job of promoting it. I mean, this spiritual practice is countercultural and goes against our natural inclination to go and fix. I mean, so much so, think about it. So much of our lives, we're defined by our level of production. Our value is often associated with activity. So today we're going to be talking about the uncomfortable topic of rest and restoration. The reason why this is so important is because the majority of our culture is burned out. According to labor statistics in 2021, 47 million Americans quit their jobs. Can you imagine that? 47 million people, 47 million employees just up and walked away. In fact, some even call it the Great Resignation or the Big Quit. I mean, you feel it every time you go into a restaurant or some business and notice that they are short for staff. You see the signs. We are hiring. Please apply. Right? No experience necessary. Right? They are desperate to have people work. It is not as though people are lazy or don't need income. The World Health Organization attributes burnout as a major cause of the big quit. They define burnout as feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job, feelings of negativity or cynicism related to one's job, or reduced professional efficacy. I mean, let's be honest, even with the definition, you can have mental distance from just about anything. That's why burnout describes more than just emotional depletion from a job, because people aren't just quitting jobs. People are quitting churches. People quit trusting in leaders and institutions. People are quitting certain affiliations. People are quitting certain beliefs. People are unashamedly walking away from things that they have been committed to for years because they are burned out. They are parched. And here's the irony. Here's the irony of being burned out. A lot of times you're not being burned out from the things that you hate doing. Most people get burned out from things, from the very things that they love, that they thought they could not live without. You can get burned out from parenting. You can get burned out from schooling, your academic pursuits. You can get burned out from doing the very thing that you think you have been called and created to do. That's why God created rest. Because resting, somebody say resting. Resting creates, that was great. You get the intonation and everything, man. Resting creates a sustainable rhythm of being restored. Rest is God's gift to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. Rest is God's gift to you. It's not a punishment. It's not meant to cause you anxiety, but it was God's design to counteract the daily pulls that lead us to becoming parched or detached. God created rest for you. It's what God was trying to do. It's what Jesus was trying to do when he was talking to the Pharisees in Mark 2, because he and his disciples were picking grain in the grain fields, and the teachers of the law were furious that they were doing this kind of work on the Sabbath or the rest day. So Jesus responds to their accusations with a reminder that the Sabbath or the rest day was made for humanity and not the other way around. What's often lost in Jesus' response is the reality that God was intentional about creating a period of rest for us. God designed it for us. In fact, for those of you who think I'm just making it up, I got Bible to back it up. Because right in Genesis 2, a part of the creation story, on the sixth day, God completed all the work he had done. And on the seventh day, rested. Somebody say rest. Rested from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. From the very start of creation, God gives us a system or models for us a rest or models for us a rhythm of restoration. God creates, and then rests. God works and works and works, and then rests. One of the very things that God models for us is a rhythm of rest. God did not first model a rhythm or a rhythm of a good prayer life. God did not model for you a great worship service. God did not model a great song, a great sermon, a great building. But one of the first things that God does in the creation of the world is God models for us a rhythm of rest and restoration. Look at it this way. A lot of leadership conversations talk about systems. They talk about creating systems or rhythms that support where you're trying to go or what we're trying to achieve. And there's a saying that goes that every system is perfectly designed for the results that it is getting. I think they figured out that it's hard to get what we want without a commitment to developing systems. Systems that support what we envision. It is not just true in the leadership conversations, but it's also true in your spiritual lives, because our rhythms and the way that we carry our lives have to support the kind of faith that we want. I realize that one of the hardest things to do in life, it is to create systems that allow us to be healthy and restored. Sometimes the desire is there and the passion is there, and we want our relationships to grow, and we want better marriages, and we want healthier kids. But it's not a matter of desire, but have we created the appropriate supporting systems that help us to get what we desire in life? In fact, if you want to know how your faith is doing, how fulfilled you are, are, how close to God you are, how healthy your relationships are. Don't just get a measure of your desire or passion, but take a look at the rhythms and the systems you have in your life. Why? Because we are perfectly designed for the results that we are getting. And right from the start, this is why I love God. God knows that we're not going to create the right rhythms. Right from the start, God did not leave it up to chance. God did not leave it up to you to figure out the right rhythms in your life. Right from the start, God made it a law that you need to have some time for rest and restoration. God made it a sign of the covenant. In fact, when God was creating the Ten Commandments, God was talking about murder, right? God said, make sure that you put a rhythm of rest and restoration in your life, right? Murder over here and resting over here, right? Because God knows if I leave it up to you, you will not create the right rhythms in your life in order for you to become the person that I've called and created you to be. So God loved you enough and showed you and modeled it for you that as much as you pour back into people, that you have to make time to pour back into yourself. In fact, I know what you're already thinking. Because some of you hate rest. It makes you anxious. But listen, I'll meet you halfway, because sometimes resting is not a matter of inactivity, but it's making time to do something that brings you joy. So I will meet you halfway, because resting is not one size fits all. Restoration is not one size fits all. Some of you like to hike. Some of you like going to the gym. You listen to podcasts. You binge watch on trash TV. You read. I get it. It is mindless TV. I get it. You like to read, you walk, you knit, you sew, you golf, you vacation, right? Because as much as you pour into people, don't neglect the responsibility and the importance of pouring into your own cup. God did not make it a luxury, but God created it as a necessity to make sure that you are being restored in your life. So what's filling your cup in this season of your life? Because resting not only creates a rhythm of restoration, but resting is a liberating practice of learning how to let go. See, the Pharisees were more focused on the law, not the implications of it. Because in Jesus' culture, there was an expectation that no work had to be done on that day. In this culture, the entire household and even the stranger in the home was supposed to cease from all of work. It gave them one day where the majority of their lives was not to be categorized by work or productivity. And just imagine the implications of this. Imagine the implications of what God is suggesting about rest, because their livelihoods were based on productivity. It's why you find rest and conversations on Sabbath to be scattered throughout the history of God's people, because every day they were pulling something. Every day they were carrying something. They were working somewhere and pushing this and pulling that and holding this and plowing this, planting that, walking here, riding there. Every day they were working for something. But the book of Jeremiah uses these words to describe the Sabbath when it says, be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your house or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath holy. Because now there is at least an allotted time where they can let go of everything they've been asked to carry. I promise it'll make sense. Give me about 2 more minutes, because it's not a day. Now they have at least an allotted time so that they can experience a day not defined by productivity. Built into their rhythm of life was a regular discipline of being free from the pushing and the pulling and the holding. And let's be honest, each of us has a certain amount that we can carry, because we have a maximum weight capacity and then we break. In fact, let me prove it to you. And I promise I won't keep talking about my vacation. I promise you, I will come up with other examples, but sometimes as a preacher, you live your life through sermons, and every conversation, every experience finds its some way into a sermon. So if you have a conversation with me, it'll probably come up in a sermon sometime or another. But for just this one day, allow me to give some flesh to this point for a little bit. Because for those of you who were here, I mentioned last week that we had some problems on our cruise. We had some problem on our ship, but the excursions made up for it. And let me give you some insight into what I mean. Because as we were disembarking from the cruise, those of us who had two pieces of luggage, they were diverting us away from the escalators onto the elevators. Now you have to understand that with 4,000 people on a cruise ship, there's a whole lot of people with more than two pieces of luggage. So we were all standing in one line, waiting to get on one elevator. Somebody say one elevator. One elevator. I told you, you had to have systems, right? You had a system, right? So we were all waiting in this one long line to get on the elevator, and we were waiting for a long time. People were getting frustrated, and my time was almost there. But there was a group in line that went in front of me, and they tried to pack it in. I mean, they got their luggage, and they were packed into the elevator type. And when they got on, there was a loud buzzing sound. It's a loud buzzing sound. And they ignored it. You could see the frustration on their face. Because they had been waiting in a long line. They just got off of the cruise. And now the elevator right there is now buzzing. So they're pushing the close button, trying to make it close, but it wasn't closing. And they're getting even more frustrated because the line is still long and the elevator is still buzzing. And so finally, the door closes, but the buzzing is still buzzing. And so after about a few seconds, you heard some voices coming from the elevator, and the buzzing stopped to ringing. You heard people screaming, "Help, help, help!" And then you heard this ringing sound. Because what happened? What happened? Yeah, they got stuck on the elevator. But why did they get stuck? Too much weight. You ever paid attention when you go into the elevator? And this says maximum weight capacity. They're letting you know, don't bring all your baggage or else you're gonna get stuck. Listen, I don't mean this the wrong way. And I'm gonna put it to you in the best possible way I can. I know you're faithful, I know you're strong, I know you're gifted, I know that God has a plan for your life, but you can only carry so much. I know that you're a loving parent. I know that you are a kind soul. I know that you love your family. I know that you just want to be there for the people that you love in your life. But I don't think the necessity to cease from activity is just about the work we do with our hands, but the things that we carry in our hearts and the things that we carry in our minds. God knows how much we have to carry every single day of our lives. We got to carry the weight of our past, the weight of expectations. Some of you are carrying the burdens of caring for aging spouses or aging parents. You're carrying the weight of raising kids. You're carrying the weight of managing a company or working a job, pleasing everybody, carrying the weight of being all things to all people, getting it right all the time. You're carrying the weight of being present and having the smile. You're carrying the weight of always having it all together. And God knows that some of us will carry the weight and the burdens and the work until we are stuck and screaming. So as an act of love and an act of grace, God creates into your life a rhythm where you can be free from all of the things that you might be carrying. And it's a discipline and a practice of letting go of all of the things that you have to carry in your life. It's letting go of the weight. is giving your emotions and your soul an opportunity to put some things down. In fact, if you don't believe me, I got Bible to back it up. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus does not say, "I'll give you more purpose, I'll give you more patience, I will give you the knowledge to get out of the mess, I will give you wisdom to help fix it." Jesus does not say, "I'll give you gifts, I'll give you more time, I'll give you the answers to make all of your worries and burdens go away." Jesus does not say, "I'll give you more work to distract you from your burdens." But the answer to releasing the weight and carrying the weight and carrying the burdens and the anxiety in our lives, the answer that Jesus gave them was rest. But I get that it's easier said than done. I get it. Because resting means that we have to take ourselves out of the production equation. Resting invites our absence so that God can be more present. And this was something Jesus talked about often when he would talk about, a lot of times in the Gospels, you would have a phrase that says, "Jesus withdrew," or "Jesus left and prayed." Whether if it was for a difficult decision, for the task coming ahead, you often find Jesus choosing rest or withdrawing, even when there would be large crowds following him. Almost like, okay, this isn't the time to rest and withdraw when you've got hundreds and thousands behind you waiting to be healed. But I think Jesus understood that there would never be a time when people didn't need him. And here's why rest is so important for us, why it's so tough for us, especially for those of you who are kind and compassionate and generous, because rest or inactivity feels like momentary failure. It feels like we're letting someone down. But sometimes the most courageous thing you can do is withdraw or rest, because your restoration is just as important as the needs of other people. In fact, 30 years ago, something happened that rocked the sports world. At the height of his career, the greatest basketball player that has ever played the game of badminton, and this is not up for discussion, it's not up for discussion at all, not up. It's not. The greatest basketball player to have ever played the game of basketball walked away. You did know it was gonna be Mike, right? He just walked away and went to play baseball. In his prime, they had just won 3 championships, and he just withdrew. Some say it was because of the pressures of the game. Some say it was because his father had just been murdered. But the entire world was watching with expectations. The entire world wanted to see if they could win another championship. What other accolades could he get? What other awards could he get? How great could he really be? And he just walked away to play baseball. You see, sometimes we need more than a day to heal. He walked away for 2 whole years. Sometimes restoration is more than just a day. Sometimes you need more than a day to get restored. Sometimes rest and restoration is a season. Sometimes rest and restoration, it takes months and sometimes even years, but you have to have the courage and the wisdom to find places to pour into you, because regardless of what form restoration takes, it takes courage to walk away from places that we think need us, that define us, that give us value. The greatest basketball player to have ever played the game put a basketball down. And there are some things that we can't put down, because deep down, we don't think things can go on without us. I thought this as a pastor for years when I pastored in New Jersey. It's the reason why I give Pastor Rob so much credit and being a model example as a leader and taking a sabbatical. right? Because it's the reason why when I pastored in New Jersey, and I confess this, you can judge me if you want, but sometimes growth happens in stages. And I pastored in New Jersey for 10 years, and it didn't dawn on me until I was doing the sermon. I never took more than 2 weeks off at a time outside my honeymoon. I never went more than 2 weeks without preaching a sermon, because I thought the church needed me. I thought if I didn't show up, giving was going down. I thought if I didn't show up, attendance would go down. I was afraid that we would lose momentum. But maybe I was just afraid that stopping meant I had to wrestle with who I was beyond the activity and what I could produce outside of a Sunday morning sermon. But as I've grown, I realized that what people needed was not my presence, but God's. And God could be present even when I wasn't. I had to learn that and give people a chance to experience that. I gave people a chance to experience me, but by me withdrawing, now I was clearing the stage for me and my presence not to become an idol. Because as long as I'm present, people are experiencing me, but that does not mean that they are experiencing the presence of the Lord. Are we brave enough to step away and trust that God is more than capable of stepping into places where God needs you to withdraw? I know you are gifted. I know you are special. I know you got a purpose on your life, but God is more than capable and able of making up the difference when you are not there. But just think, all you're doing is clearing the stage. When you rest and trust God enough to be restored, you are clearing the stage so the spotlight can no longer be on you, but so that it could be on God. So God creates the rhythm so the stage can be set, not just for you to show how good and great you are, but when we rest and are restored, it gives God an opportunity to make up the difference and show people just how good and great God is. Won't you pray with me? God, sometimes we think the world can't do it without us. But the truth is, you were there before us, and you'll be present after us. Sometimes the fear is really based off of a lack of trust in you. It's an overinflation of ourselves. It's placing ourselves as an idol. We've become idols in our families. We become idols on our jobs and idols in our community. We become idols in our circles. But give us the courage and faith to prioritize our own restoration. Because you're not just a God that just raises people from the dead and raises. No. You're a God that restores us each and every day, each and every week, and each and every year. But we have to have faith to seek those places where we can get rest and be renewed again. For this is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray.